All right, I'll take a little whip around the Big Ten Conference. The Oregon Ducks shut out Purdue 35-0 on the road Friday night. First road shutout since 92. That's a long time. First shutout of any kind in over a decade for Oregon, too. That's pretty good.
Solid.
Pretty good things right there. Elsewhere in the Big Ten, Kurt Cignetti and Google Me Bitch, 56-7. They mopped the floor with the Nebraska Cornhuskers. I was reading that Dylan Raiola has a quarterback rating of 44 against zone coverage.
Google me, bitch.
And about 90% of Indiana's coverage zone. Yeah, looked like it. That played out. He was 28 of 44, 234 yards, 3 interceptions, 0 touchdowns.
Pretty good.
Indiana is
a wagon.
Yeah, they're playing really well right now. And Curtis Rourke, their quarterback, he's unlikely to play this week.
Yeah, he ripped off his freaking fingernail.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, so they're hoping they can get... Look, UW is not an easy game to hope you can get by.
Well, no. Even Marcus Allen is like, you're a little baby.
But, yeah, I know, just cut the finger off.
Oh, Ronnie Lott. Ronnie Lott.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Ronnie Lott. Apologies.
You're mixing up your Raider lore.
Damn it!
It's okay.
And SC players.
And SC legends.
Yeah.
But
I was close.
Indiana has a really good defense and a really good running game to go with it.
Their defense does not get enough credit for how good they are. They're amongst the leaders in the country in sacks, although they only had 2 this past week. It was enough. 56-7. That is the surprise of college football this year.
Yeah, not even close.
And they are playing really damn well.
And Nebraska's a good team.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, look, it's not...
I think the two best teams that they've played, they've gotten rolled by, but, you know,
but they're
okay.
My point is they're a good little squad.
Yeah, they're trending in the right direction.
For sure. I'm not calling them a national title contender. It's a good pelt on the wall.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look, this isn't the 5-star pelt. It's nice.
No. UCLA got their first win in the Big Ten.
Look at that.
Hey. They went out to Rutgers, and they run away with a 35-32 win. Did not see that coming.
No.
Nope. But UCLA gets their first win. Wisconsin went to Evanston, Illinois. They beat the bejeebers off Northwestern 23-3. I'm telling you, this Wisconsin team starting to figure some stuff out.
Yeah.
After getting beat by both Bama and SC, their offense has been rolling. Mm-hmm. Their defense has been stymieing teams. They've only allowed in their last 3 games, now granted it was Purdue, Rutgers, Northwestern, they've only allowed 16 points in their last 3 games. Meanwhile, they're putting up 52, 42, 23 in those games. So
I'm telling you, that UO game at Camp Randall has Big Nooner written all over it.
Yeah, it's going to be
exciting. Pacific kick.
Oregon, Michigan is now a 12:30 kick on the 2nd Pacific time. Michigan did get beat by Illinois 21-7. Michigan can't throw a football, so.
Yeah, I saw a poll coming from one of the big Michigan accounts asking who should be their quarterback, and it was Orgy, Tuttle, who's the another quarterback. But then they put Samaj. The wide receiver, Morgan. Because it's like, screw it. If we're going to have somebody back there who can't throw the ball, why not have it be like the fastest person in college football?
All right. Let's get to your USC Trojans. Oof. They lose to Maryland 29-28 and blow another double-digit lead.
Another one. They have 4 losses on the season.
Uh-huh. 3 in a row.
3 in a row.
4 of the last 5.
And all 4 of them are losses in the final minute or in overtime. In games that they led. And it's just maddening. And look, I coming into the season, I expected them to win 8, maybe 9 games. That was the bar. I didn't think this was this great team. But it is insane that essentially 4 plays this season separates them from being undefeated.
That is coaching.
It's just absolutely... And they're, again, I'm not saying that they could, should, would, or could, or it can be. But it's quite literally... In this game against Maryland, you kick the field goal, the game's over. The field goal doesn't get blocked, it's over. Against Penn State, you get the pass interference flag. You have the ball at the 1-yard line with, 12 seconds to go. The game is over. You wrap up Donovan Edwards instead of having 3 guys bounce off of him. The game is over. If there's one single play in every one of these games. But the problem is, It's coming down to those one plays because they're screwing up before
that. And that's the thing is that, like, if this was happening against Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State.
Coin tosses. But when it's happening against Minnesota and Maryland.
Yeah. And the talent gap is so much greater.
Particularly
in
the skill
USC's
positions.
Favor. That, to me, this is why Lincoln Riley's starting to feel it.
The defensive line.
And he should, because they're not playing. They're not disciplined.
No.
They're not playing good football. And this is like the trend. It's like, oh, hey, fire your Alex Grinch. Everything's going to be fine. And they went out and they paid money
and they
to
were
get
trending
head
up.
Coaches to coach that defensive side of the ball. This is your head coach is now the guy that everybody's going to say, all right, man.
What's going on?
What is happening? You guys go and you start recruiting better. And like their offensive and defensive lines, like they do have some good young talent in there. But at the same time, it's like they're better than Minnesota and Maryland right now.
Well, I don't know about better than Minnesota in the trenches.
Well, I'm just talking overall. They have no business losing those games.
Well, No, they don't. But here, this is not a but as far as losing. They absolutely unequivocally should not lose those games. Absolutely not. When we were talking off air last week, I said, there's probably one game on the rest of the schedule. And that was Notre Dame, where I was like, that's probably the one. Losing the Maryland game, that to me, losing the Minnesota game, shouldn't lose it. Full stop. But I was like, okay, that's the stupid game. You know, this is the stupid year. If that's the stupid game. Okay. Yeah. I think I wasn't happy with it, but, you know, that's how it goes. But I was diving into the end of the Maryland game. USC does not have a starting defensive lineman with a sack this year. Their sacks are coming from their DBs and their linebackers, and even then they're not getting that many pressures. And it's not because they're not blitzing. Danton Lynn is throwing a million different things at the wall. They're just not getting home.
Yeah.
And they were already thin up front. And then Barry Alexander decided he was going to go, I'm in a red shirt, I'm out. And all of a sudden, it just got so much thinner. And now you've got their back end is dinged up.
Yeah.
They've got the linebacker's out for the season. Mascarenhas is dinged up. Akili Arnold is playing with one shoulder. I don't know if you saw the blown tackle that led to the touchdown.
They are more talented than 3 and 4.
Oh, God, yes. But they're so thin that the second they start picking up, and we talked about this coming into the season, the second they started picking up injuries, it's just been a problem. And I didn't think Lincoln could hit the hot seat this year. If he got to 8 wins, everyone's gonna be frustrated because it's USC.
Yeah.
But after the Maryland loss, the seat went from like uncomfortable to absolutely unequivocally, no doubt it's hot.
Rutgers is broken right now. They're going through a lot of the same things that SC is going through.
And they're flying across the
country. War of attrition, and it's an 8 p.m. kick this Friday Pacific, which means it's an 11 p.m. kick. Yeah. Rutgers.
It's gonna be brutal for those guys.
That sucks. You better not lose that one.
Oh, if they lose that one, they might leave Lincoln in the stadium.
Going to Washington is going to be, all of a sudden, that
it's a
did
real
not
test.
Seem, that yeah. seems a lot more difficult now than it was before, even though Washington and their resume has taken a bit of a hit lately. At the beginning of the year, we were sitting there going, all right, look at this Washington team. Now, you look at, after some of their wins that we were going, hey, this is not bad for you, Dub. They're actually positioning themselves pretty well here. You look at that Michigan win. A lot of the shine has come off of that one.
Mm-hmm.
The loss to Iowa. Iowa goes and they lose to, and this is the world of college football, right? Iowa goes and they lose to Michigan State. Rutgers loses to UCLA.
Hey, shout out Aiden Giles. Giles looked good.
Aiden Childs did look good.
He looked good.
He looked good. Northwestern loses to Wisconsin. Michigan loses to Illinois. And people are now questioning UW. I just don't take it on a week-to-week, right? But in Washington coming off a bye, they could be in a far better position moving forward. So that's no layup for USC. And then they got Nebraska at home. And Nebraska has been equally topsy-turvy as this USC team has been. Right? Like, they look really good some weeks, and then the other weeks, you're just like, what is this Nebraska team? There's no gimmies moving forward on this USC schedule when you lose the way that they have the last couple of weeks. Good thing is, you get Rutgers at home, you get Nebraska at home, and you get Notre Dame at home, where they're playing far different football, right? The only loss that they have at home this year is that Penn State game, which is a 3-point game to the number three team in the country. That's not like that. That is the head scratching part.
Yeah. You see the variance. And that's the thing is, like, you can blame some of it on depth. You can blame some of it on, you know, getting some things right and getting away from being a team that was entirely built around Caleb Williams, which I was perfectly okay with because the first year was really good. But it's kind of funny, the Vancouver Vortex text line, Cignetti to USC. I actually had somebody who I know who was like, hey, if they fire DeBoer in Alabama.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, first of all, Alabama's not going to do that because the buyout on him is going to be like, what, $60 million?
I mean, you could find somebody in Alabama that's willing to pay it.
I mean,
Jimbo Fisher, man. They did it for Jimbo. 75 for Jimbo.
Texas is a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
They had a few more millionaires in that booster pool.
Bama.
Look, if this was Arkansas and that Walmart money might be interested.
I mean, look, Florida may be in
Billy
the hunt.
Napier, you know.
Actually, Florida's playing better. Florida's playing better.
Has he done enough to save his job?
No, but okay. Florida's playing better, and they actually have a quarterback that they can be like, hey, he's looking up.
Have you seen the man on the street interview?
No.
Oh, God. There's a Florida media guy who goes out in the streets and outside the swamp and asks about DJ Lagway, and she said he needs to play better music. In case you're wondering, she looks exactly like these things she looks. 11 out of 10. Complete smoke show. Really? You think so? She's like, I don't know who he is. I just imagine that his set list sucks.
The fire Billy Napier stretch, it starts right now. Have you seen their next four games?
Mm-mm.
At home against Georgia.
Oh, God.
On the road against Texas.
Oh, God.
At home against LSU.
Oh, God.
At home against Ole Miss.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yes, yeah, so they've looked better the last couple
of games.
That's
one of the most brutal stretches in the country.
Yeah, remember at the beginning of the year, it was they have the toughest schedule in the country.
Yeah,
it was not particularly close. But they played Tennessee to a one-possession game. They looked a lot better against Tennessee. That was their one blemish in the last month, was Tennessee. They went on the road up to Neyland, and they lost 23-17 on the road. Other than that, they beat Mississippi State. They beat Central Florida. They absolutely hammered Kentucky. They've looked okay. But then you play Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss. But you get to finish it with Mike Norvell. How great would that be if the final game of the year, it was like Florida, Florida State, and they fly in, Kurt Cignetti is like, hey, winner gets Coach Cignetti. Huh? Firebolt to coaches. Just winner gets Cignetti.
Have him say, look at my record.
You can't lose this one. You can't lose this one, bitch. You want to see them go all out.
It's a great line.
That's how they do it. All right. Man, is this why you're doing the earrings? Actually, another Vancouver Ford text line. Danny, I could see him now in his Reggie Bush jersey, cargo shorts, diamond earrings, listening to Linkin Park, trying to relive the USC glory days.
Bringing it back, baby.
Maybe you're trying to bring back just the SC glory days. That's what this is. It's not a midlife crisis. It's a rally for SC to be good again.
It's like a rally monkey of my own. It's true, because Hybrid Theory, Linkin Park's Hybrid Theory came out in 2003, because I remember getting that on base at the BX. I got that and 50 Cent.
Sure, Jan.
Both their albums.
Oh.
Came out the same week.
Get Rich or Die Trying?
Yeah.
There we go.
I vividly remember that.
50. The greatest thing about 50 Cent is that he went by 50 Cent until he went on The View. And Sharon Osbourne called him 50.
I was going to say, was it Joy Behar?
No, it was Sharon Osbourne. She gave him the fitty.
Fitty?
And wow. He ran with it.
Wait, so Sharon Osbourne made 50 Cent more hip.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Let me fact check this really quick, but I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that that's how it happened. Yeah, 50 Cent says Sharon Osbourne gave him the name fitty.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, The View.
First time anyone's ever said that.
I was going to say, yeah, I did not have that on my bingo card today.
Lord knows.
Well, I'm obviously the second, because Fitty says thank you, too. Mm. So the second person to do that.